Welcome back, and we're going to discuss a third behavior. So in addition to speaking truthfully and taking responsibility, we're going to be discussing something I've mentioned a number of times throughout the course, and that is owning our emotions. Responsibility actually leads us to this other point, which is most fundamental and in and of itself enormously transformative. Have you ever heard someone say, they make me feel? Have you ever said, you always make me feel? Dot, dot, dot. These expressions where we express that other people make us feel indicate that I have no control over my feelings and they are in the control of others. My feelings are in the control of others. Many people truly believe this. They will say, when you say insulting things to me, it hurts my feelings. It implies that there is nothing I can do about that, because when you say those words, they hurt me. And this is completely untrue. If the very same words were said by someone who isn't important to you, the words wouldn't hurt. Clearly, it isn't the words that hurt. It's the meaning we attach to the words. It's the value we attach to those words. Here are two examples I heard from Greg Bayer, the author of Real Love, which really drive home this point. And you may remember them from the very beginning of the course, but this concept is so vital, it must be repeated. Imagine you only had $2 left to your name. That's all you had. Someone comes and steals your last $2 from you. You might feel furious. For heaven's sake, it's your last $2. Now imagine that you had $20 million and someone steals $2 from you. Would you feel furious? No. What's $2 when you have $20 million? Nothing. What we see is that the taking of the $2 is not what makes us angry. If it did, we would be angry even when we have $20 million. What makes us angry is our emptiness of money. When I have no money and you take $2, then I get furious. When we have no money, all that we had was just taken from us. When we barely have a sense of worthiness, your insult takes away the little bit I have, and in my fear, I become emotional. So just like the $2, it's not the $2 themselves, it's that there is nothing backing up the $2. If you say something insulting to me and I don't have any worthiness in my own bank account, you're taking away my last worthiness and I become desperate. This is because of what's going on with me, my emptiness, not with what you said. Had I been full of worthiness, your comment would not have hurt me at all. Here's a second example. Imagine you're sitting next to your future spouse and you put your arm around their shoulder. How would they feel about such an embrace? They would feel wonderful. There's nothing like a loving embrace from someone you love and are about to marry. Now, what would happen if they just returned from the beach with a bad sunburn and without knowing you give them the same embrace? They'll jump back and scream. Why are they screaming? Not because your embrace hurts, but because they are in pain from their sunburn. When someone is in pain, the smallest thing sets them off. They screamed because of their own sunburn, their own issue. Likewise, when someone throws an insult at me, if I am sunburned, meaning I am hypersensitive because I lack worthiness, I will feel hurt. The hurt is coming from my sunburn, not their insult. If I have a strong sense of worthiness and I'm not hypersensitive, I will hear the insult without being hurt by it. If events caused anger, if it was truly the event or the words that caused my anger, we'd all respond to the same event in the exact same way. And the reality is there isn't a single event where all people will respond equally. Even we do not respond equally to the exact same event at different times in our life, because it all boils down to how much pain I am in or how empty I am feeling, where my state of inner worthiness is. If events caused anger, we'd all respond to the same event in the exact same way. There isn't a single event where people do respond the exact same way. So you can see that we, in making our worthiness contingent upon others, are choosing to hurt ourselves. And this is the height. Recognizing this is the height of true responsibility. When we own our emotions and realize that the reason why I am feeling hurt, or why I am feeling any feeling I'm having, is because of the way I am processing what's going on, because it is attached to my own sense of worthiness, I'm taking responsibility for my feelings instead of blaming others. So owning our emotions is the height of responsibility. Acknowledging that every feeling that I have is in my control and not in someone else's is unbelievable responsibility. Let's go back to the analogy we discussed in the last module, in module 3. Did you ever see a child get their parent angry? The parent may say, "Oh, this child makes my life miserable." This is enormously empowering for the child, which is why when we get angry at our children, we are actually encouraging this behavior. We are empowering our children to control our emotions. The reason for this is because the child instinctively knows that he now holds the reins to his parents' emotions. If he does one thing, his parents will be happy. And if he does another thing, his parents will be upset. That's a very powerful feeling. And it's even a seductive feeling for a child to have. And who handed over the reins of the parents' emotions to the child? The parents do. By the parent letting their child change their emotional state, they are making themselves the victim of their child. Once again, this is analogous to putting a dog leash around your neck and start walking, and they start walking around leading you. It's handing over your power entirely to another person. In English, we simply call this irresponsible, not taking responsibility. Why? Because you are giving up your ability to choose how you would like to respond to a situation and instead are letting someone else determine that for you. So as you can see, the height of responsibility is when we begin to own our own feelings and emotions. This is not easy at all because our emotions are such a deep part of us. And that's why it's hard to find many people who are examples of this. However, the more we go through the exercise of event, judgment, feelings, space, reaction, we actually begin to take control of our emotions once again. And this is one of the most liberating experiences a human being can have. Just imagine the toxic family member that always pushes the buttons of others and predictably gets the reaction they are looking for because everyone becomes their victim. Everyone gets caught into the drama. Now imagine the next time they push your buttons after you have begun taking responsibility for your emotions. They push your button and you sit there calmly. You remind yourself that toxic people say toxic things. You remind yourself that your worthiness surely doesn't come from them. And you remind yourself that what they're saying doesn't define the reality or the truth of who you are. After you do this a number of times with the same person, they will actually stop trying to push your buttons. They will learn that it is futile. In fact, through your responsibility of owning your emotions, you will have helped not only yourself, but also them. This is a perfect example of how, by transforming ourselves, we transform the world around us. And again, this is something we're going to discuss in Module 6. Let's summarize what we've learned in this module so far. There are three behaviors we must be mindful of if we want to experience peace, as well as maximize the power invested within us. The first is speaking truthfully. Meaningful relationships depend on the vulnerability of showing our true selves. What we discover in the process is that speaking truthfully prevents a tremendous amount of the toxicity we have in our relationships. Because the moment we speak truthfully, we are diffusing situations by just putting the truth on the table. And I want to say again, this doesn't mean that we have to share everything about ourselves, even with our spouse. It does mean that whenever we're sharing, it's done with truth and not with hiding. The second is taking responsibility in every situation we are in. We must always ask, what can I do about this? Even when the other person is the one who was wrong. This also prevents lots of toxicity because we don't spend our time on what should have happened, but rather on making the right things happen now and for the future. The third behavior we discussed is owning our emotions. This means realizing that no one makes me feel anything. No one makes us feel other than our own selves. Our internal processing system is what creates our feelings. Using the checking into reality exercise is the path to owning our emotions. This very clearly knocks out an enormous amount of useless emotional pain that we would otherwise carry by owning our emotions. And so through practicing these three behaviors, we begin to see enormous transformation in our peace of mind, in our equanimity, and in our relationships with the people around us.